We need God ordering our steps in His word, right? Because David said, that word is what? A lamp to my path. Yes? So, without God's word, guess what's going to happen? We'll be going astray. Imagine if we still have His word and we're going astray. Without His word, we'll be going totally astray. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue with the book of Romans. And this time we're going to go to chapter 16. And very interesting passage. And I know while we were, Greg was reading, I know some of you were thinking, what is in there? Because everything Paul is saying, thank this person, thank that person. Some names I can't even pronounce good. And he kept going on and 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 on. But as we look at this passage, it's very interesting to see how Paul point out key persons in this passage. So while we prepare for that, let us just look to the Lord in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to just lead us as we speak His word. Eternal Father, we come not on our own, but leaning on You, O God, that You speak Your word this afternoon. And as we speak, not me, but Holy Spirit, You come and speak to Your people and let Your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it been sent. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Good catch. Dallas, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. You know, I know somebody going to say something. All right. Praise God. You know something funny? Yesterday, we were coming from the Awana Beach trip, and we said, what's going to be for the attire for next Pentecost Sunday? And some people said, Pastor Gary said, wear your country jersey. And one or two persons that understood said, we should wear our team jersey. I said, no, nobody wearing a team jersey. And they said, this is Eagle Nation. I said, show me on the map where they got Eagle Nation. There is nowhere on the map that they have Eagle Nation, so nobody come here with Eagle jersey. You know, I love this church. So let's just dive into our word this afternoon. Paul reaching out to the church in Rome. And going back, if we look at the passage that the book of Romans, Paul kind of laid down practical life, practical living, how believers ought to live. And you know, the church, the believers in Rome were having a great difficult time, struggling with adjusting to a certain lifestyle, and coming close to the end of the book of Romans, where we talk about believers kind of arguing on non-essential matters, right? Things that don't seem matters, because at the end of the day, Paul says that, hey, whatever your beliefs are, once it's in line with God and God honors it, that's what matters. And the bottom line, Paul says that instead of us arguing and bittering over stuff that doesn't matter, why can't just there be love? Why can't we just love each other, encourage each other? And we talked about lastly, weak and strong. Some people believe that, you shouldn't do this because of their background, where they came, and they abstained from eating certain animals, meat and as a whole. You know, I came from a Muslim background, right? And Muslims don't eat pigs. They don't eat pork, let's say. But growing up, hey, I think this is good. When I'm not around my dad, hey, wherever I went, I never asked whether it's pork or that, because I knew God wasn't carrying me to be a complete Muslim. He had a plan for my life, even though I didn't know at that time, but I would chew that bone up that I didn't care. So there were arguments among the believers whether you should eat certain meat. So come on, I came from a Muslim background, so I kind of said, don't eat pork. I ain't gonna talk that. Because I still love it, I still eat it. So if any other person who comes from a Muslim background and wants and said, no, I'm not gonna eat it because of this, I'm not gonna hit that person, because at the end of the day, their faith in God is what matters, right? So I'm not gonna kick against them. And if they celebrate certain holidays, I'm not going to go against them because they celebrate. They are, Paul said, if they celebrate, celebrating unto the Lord, be it. Acknowledge them. Encourage them. We ought to encourage each other than to tear each other down. Right? So at the end of the day, Paul said, hey, don't be a judge. Because guess what? Nobody make you judge. At the end of the day, we all going to stand before God, and God going to judge each person. So who gave you the right to judge another person? Right? And that we are so fast and quick to judge another person in a heartbeat before realizing that. But Paul said, no. So we come to our end of Romans, and we're going to talk on chapter 16, verse 1 to 27. But as we look at the book of Romans, the verse here, let us first of all consider what we are going to talk about. And for our team, we want to look at a standout character for God. A standout character for God. Let's skip that. Maybe we can talk about that. Don't we live in a world often people values popularity and success? Right? The world values popularity and success. That's what matters to us. We want our kids to go to school. It's a proud thing of our kids to go to school, graduate, and earn those degrees. Like our dear brother, Dan, who earned a doctorate degree. Brother, I'm not going to call you Dan no more. I'll call you Dr. Tom Sutton. You earned that, brother. Guess what? We want all of that for our children. But does that truly matter to God? So we're going to see what truly matters to God. For our internal truth, what truly matters to God is not our status. Right? God is not interested in how much money you got in your bank account. God is not interested whether you are the president, a vice president, or a councilman, or school principal, or whatever career you may pursue or become. God is not interested. But what God is interested is our character. God is interested in our character. Because with our character, it makes us a good president. With a good character in God, it makes us a good doctor. It makes us a good nurse. It makes us a good principal. It makes us a good police officer. It makes us a good citizen. Because that's what matters to God, our character. So, we want to dive in this passage today. We want to speak especially to our graduates. And everyone, not only our graduate, but in this message, you have a part into it there. And we want to explore what it means to have a standout character for God. We want to where Paul kind of highlights certain individuals who exemplify godly character. Because that's what God looks for in us. Amen? And so based on that, we're going to look at people of purpose. And Paul mentioned one person, Phoebe. And we're going to look at those who were partnered in ministry with Paul. And we're not going to go through the entire list that Paul sent greetings to, or else we're not going to have our graduate dinner. They got to eat. But we want to just pick up one or two and just elaborate and see where Paul came when he kind of recognized. And we want to look at Priscilla and Aquila. And even as they go through, we want to consider persevere in trials, because guess what? You may have that godly character, but as graduates, as high school students graduating from high school, going to college, how can you maintain that godly character while you are away from home, from church, from family, from church family? How can you maintain that godly character out there that you can be recognized as a child of God? And as college graduates, how can you maintain that? How can you wrestle with work, school, and God, and church? And does your character reflect who you are? Does it? And that's what we want to consider this afternoon. And let us look into that. The first thing, let us define character. What is character? From the Merriam-Webster dictionary, say, one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. Another verse, interpretation says someone who appears in a book, movie, etc. But that's not our concern about that type of character. We're not looking at that type of character that performed. But let's look at Christian character. What does it really look like? And I found this on the webpage. And it says that the moral and ethical qualities that Christians strive to embody based on teachings and example of who? Jesus Christ. And I love this quotation from, it's not there yet, but we'll go for it. But now interpretation says, the inward motivation to do what is right as a believer and according to the highest standard of behavior in every situation. So your character matters in every situation, whether you graduate, living elementary, going to middle school, from eighth grade to ninth grade, your character matters. Whether you're graduating from high school to college, your character matters. And whether you're graduating from college, getting into the workforce, your character matters. So it matters in every situation. And even we as church leaders, our character also matters. Amen? Amen? So as we look, Christian character is who you are when no one is looking. Right? You know, our youth group, we've been talking, we've been teaching on the series, Who Am I? Who am I? Because sometimes I was sharing with them, like, some of our kids, they got three different characters. They got one character at home, they got one character at church, and they got one character at school. They got three different personalities at home, at church, at school. But that's not who God wants us to be. God wants us to be one character, a person, one character that people can see and see him in us. Amen? And we share with them from the book of Ephesians chapter 2:19. Tell them that you are precious. You are unique. God, you are God precious. God created you for a purpose and a work. God created you. So that character should be a Christ-like character in each of us. You see, character is not the same as reputation. What other people think about us? No, it's not. It's not the same as success or achievement. That's not character. It's not what we have done. But character is who we are. Who we are. It reflects on us wherever we go. In the Greek words, character is called character, translated as expressed image. Your character shows you who you are. And we look at the attributes of God. It tells us who God is. We haven't seen God, right? We haven't seen him. But guess what? We get to know who God is based on his attributes, right? When we read about God, his attributes, we know exactly what or who the God we are serving. And it gives us hope that we're not just serving anyone who doesn't have a good character, but we're serving someone who his character matches his image. And that's why he said he created us in his image after his likeness. So we ought to prioritize the attributes that God has. Amen? You know, I love this quote from this author Bill in our reading. And just grab that portion and put it in. He said, one of God's primary goals for believers is to transform into the image of his son. Not only that, so that they may be a reflection of the character of Christ. That's what God wants us to be. So as we quote this afternoon, let us look at the first person Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. He mentioned Phoebe. And he said, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a what? Servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Now, Phoebe was clearly a remarkable person. She was a generous woman. She was a skilled leader in the community. Now, she was one of those few women that Paul mentions and commends for their leadership in his letter. He commends their leadership and their service. Her character stood out based on who she was. And Paul saw that character in her. Her leadership, her service was not only to Paul alone, but to the community as a whole. You know, for our high school kids graduating, going to college, sometimes college can suck up your character out of you. Sometimes the friends you hang out with will suck that character out of you, and you cannot function as you used to be in church. Sometimes your studies will suck your character out of you in a sense that you forget about going to church, you forget about service, all you do is study hard. It's not wrong to study hard, but sometimes you want to put hold on to God and pursue your career. But he said, why would you what? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Hey, all. He didn't say some. He didn't say a few. But he said all other things will be added unto you. So as you go to college pursuing your career, do not forget God. Do not forget church. Do not forget whence you came. It's not going to be easy, but in those moments, you need God to direct you. You need God to order your steps. You need God to pave that way for you to make you successful in your career. Because sometimes you're going to have sleepless night. You want to study hard. You want to put your mind into your book and study and study. It's good. But guess what? The scripture says, he who lacks what? Wisdom should what? Come unto me. If you lack in wisdom, come unto God. He's able to give you wisdom and give you knowledge to carry on. So Paul recommends Phoebe because of her character, because of who she was, her role in the community. Although she did not appear mostly in the Bible, some other places in the Bible, but the introduction that Paul gives her, it kind of defines her character, defines who she was, and how she needed to be publicly honored because of her influence, because of her generosity, and because of her leadership. Paul saw all of that. And when she was going to the church in Rome, Paul commanded the church to honor her because he saw who Phoebe was. Now, sometimes it's difficult to walk your character, right? But as you walk your character, remember that God expects you to walk the talk. Don't just talk and don't walk. But walk your talk, because what? Your life matters to God. Your relationship to God matters a whole lot. And he expects that relationship with you to grow every moment, every second. So showing your character through the way you walk in your Christian life, it helps you engage into people who are outside of God. Your character at college, your character in the workforce will show to others who you truly are as a child of God. And as you do that, you're not honoring yourself, but guess what? You are honoring God. So here's the thing. When you walk the walk, guess what? It is pleasing to God. When you walk the walk, guess what? You are fruitful for God. Your character makes you fruitful outside. When you leave your church, you leave your home, your parents, and going to college, your character, when you are still connected to God, you are fruitful outside, even at college. Because John says, Jesus says in the book of John chapter 15, verse 8, he says, "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Your character matters to God more than any other thing. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, Paul tells us, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Sometimes our college affect our faith. The challenges that we face out there, the difficulties that we face out there, it challenges our faith, who we are. But it is in those moments that you need to stand out and show your character and let it be seen through you that God is with you, that God is for you, and that God has brought you this far. Amen? And another person Paul kind of points out in his final greetings was Priscilla and Aquila. And he called them, can you turn this down a little bit? And he called them a co-laborers in Christ. Right? What does it mean to be a co-laborers in Christ? Let's read that in verse 3 to 4. He said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow co-workers in Christ Jesus." What did they do in verse 4? They said, "Who risked their own necks for my life." Priscilla and Aquila, Paul could see that character in them because they didn't serve themselves, but they gave themselves for Paul. He says in verse 4, he said, "They risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I gave thanks, but to all the churches of the Gentiles." Now, mind you, most of these folks were Gentiles who got saved, came to be Christian, forming part of the church in Rome. They were not Jews. They were not from Jewish background. They were all Gentiles. They were non-Christian. They were non-believers. They were even the people that were considered to be saved. But guess what? When they got saved, they were on fire for God. They were ready to serve. They were willing to go the extra miles. They were not waiting for a next person on my right hand to say, "Hey, I'm doing it." If it wasn't done, they were ready to do it for God's sake. They wasn't waiting for anybody. Isn't that something that we as a church need to be looking at? We shouldn't be waiting for Pastor Gary to come and set up. We shouldn't be waiting for Pastor Ansel to come and go and set up the gym for stuff and what have you. Nobody wants to say amen to that. We shouldn't be waiting for Pastor Gary to drive the van and go help get food for the food pantry. We should be waiting for somebody should say, "I'm going to go and do it." That's the character that Paul saw in Aquila, in Priscilla. They were willing to put their neck to go extra for the work. Thank you for the work of God. Because at the end of the day, it's God who's going to reward you. Reward you based according to your character, your work. Like I said last time, God isn't going to judge us based on our sin because he paid for our sins, our past, our present, and our future sin. So I'm not going to worry about that. I'm worrying about figuring how I'm going to serve God to the best I can. Because at the end of the day, he's going to weigh my work. Was it fruitful? How much fruit did I bear? So you see, he commended them in there, not only Phoebe, a servant of the church, but also Priscilla and Aquila. Now, they tag along with Paul. Paul said they were both fellow workers in Christ. Now, if you go in the books of in the book of Acts, you will read about the influence, the impact in the kingdom of God. And not only that, they traveled, they taught, and they did so great for the service of God. So they were so valuable that Paul took both of them with him while he was traveling to Corinth. So Paul points out in verse 4, he said, they both risked their life for me. Isn't that something we need to do? Paul recognized the character based on the service, based on what they did. And he wrote the church in Rome. He said, greet them. These couple, they sacrificed their time. And that's what God wants to see in us, especially our young people. God wants to see that character in us that will reflect him wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we do. God wants to see that character in us to reflect his kingdom. And while in Ephesus, Paul was so passionate about preaching about these people, and he recognized them and what they had accomplished, not for him, Paul, but what they have accomplished for God. Because whatever we do here, we're not accomplishing it for ourselves. We're not accomplishing it for the pastors. We're not accomplishing it for the deacons. Whatever we do, we're accomplishing it for God. And that matters a whole lot. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Paul saw the character, and he, because they were the believers are always together involved in the things of God. And to our young graduates going to college, sometimes you will forget about church. But this is what Paul said. He said, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day is approaching. Don't forget whence you came. If you cannot find, come back home to church, but find a church or religious group, Bible-believing group, not just any group, but believers that study the word of God. Amen. Form part of those groups. Get involved. Not only in your education, but get involved in different groups that you will study God's word. Because he says we should not forsake the assemblies of ourselves together. Because with that, it helps us to grow. It helps you to grow to encourage each other. You may be falling by the wayside, but someone will be there who can encourage you even through your studies. Amen? Amen? Paul said in Colossians chapter 23, 24, he said, he commended Priscilla, Aquila, Phoebe, because at the end of the day, what we said earlier, Paul mentioned in verse 23 and 24 of Colossians chapter 3, he said, and whatever you do, do it heartily. As to who? To the Lord. And not to who? Men. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve who? The Lord Christ. Whether you are at FBC, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you at home, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you at school, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You on campus, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In your workforce, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be at the back of your mind. You do not serve yourself. You serve the Lord. And guess what? He will reward you. Amen? And let us quickly, there are characters we need to abide, that we need to add to our lives, especially you as young people. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You need knowledge, right? Oh, I'm talking to you college student. Those of you going to high school. You need knowledge to move forward. But guess what? Paul said, it comes from God. He's in verse 8, he said, and to knowledge, temperaments, and to temperaments, patience. And to patience, what? Godliness. Not only that, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Those are characteristics you need to add to your resume. Those are things. And we're going to see another one in 2 Peter 1, verse 8, he said, for these things be with you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay on track with who you are as a believer. Paul said, and Peter said, you will not be unfruitful of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. And verse 10 says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Going to college should not cause you to decrease your relationship with God. Going to workforce should not cause you to decrease your relationship with God. God needs you. He needs you to grow more and more. Amen? Amen. Because Paul himself mentioned, he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I have not attained it yet. I have not achieved. I have not reached that level yet. If Paul could say that, none of us can say that we have achieved, we have reached that level. Amen? Amen. Perseverance. In trials, there's going to be difficult times when you go into college. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be hindrances, especially young as you are. There will be temptation. And sometimes you will want to quit. You will want to quit. You know, I share with my children, I said, listen, we were having kids and I was still going to school. I earned 2 master's degrees. So none of you are going to stop where I stop. You're going to go to school. You're going to earn more than what I earn. And learn, because you have the opportunity to learn what you can learn right now. So I experienced it sometimes. It was tough. As a father, as a student, as a pastor, it was tough. And many days I'm sitting in class and the professor teaching and I'm sleeping. Fishing, someone said fishing, but I never caught any fish. Those are the moments, those are the challenges that you're going to go through, young people. But guess what? God has given us the assurance. We're not going to read the entire verse, but I want to skip down to verse 19. He said, for your obedience have become known to all. Paul was speaking about all those that he was talking to, that he realized based on the character. He was talking, he said, that obedience has become more to all. Therefore, he said, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good. Because when you get out there, hey, those things will look good to you, but they sometimes appear good, but not be good to you in your sight. There are some friends who will appear good friends, but they are not good. They will mislead you. They will tell you to do things that you haven't done before, and they will encourage you. But stick to who you are, your character. Because your character matters more than your status. And guess what? Paul says, he said, and the God of peace, he said, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. In the midst of all those things, remember God. Remember Him. When you cannot pass that course, reverse. Get on your knees. Remember that He said, he who lacks wisdom should what? Come unto me. Pray, and God going to give you wisdom to go through that test. Don't say, I'm a believer, I trust God, and don't study. You will fail. You will fail because you do not study. But put God in. Trust God. Pray and ask God to lead you. And that's why he said, Paul says, and the God of peace will what? Crush Satan under your feet. Isn't that what we want for our graduates? Isn't that what we want for our children? Isn't that what we want for God to do? God is able to do great, exceedingly beyond what you can imagine or even you can think. And when you trust Him, guess what? He can take you to the next level of your life. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. He said, what I say, I'm paraphrasing, he said, what I say, what I God say, is that what I would do. But you need to believe in Him. You need to trust in Him. You need to honor Him. And as we quickly look at Matthew 10:16, it says, behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. You're going to go out there, challenges, but be wise and remember your Creator. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conduct be with our covetousness. He said, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will what? Never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Absolutely nothing. So what do we do? Sorry for the color. I was trying to make it colorful, but I guess I didn't make it. You know, when it's on the computer, it looks so good. But when they get out there. But here's the thing. Young people, college students, graduates, as you go to build your character, deepen your relationship with God. Deepen your relationship with God. Your faithfulness impacts the future generation. Think about that. God values every individual. And not only that, think about this as you go. Are you known for serving God as the men and women that God mentioned, or Paul mentioned in chapter 16 that we went through? Are you known for that? For your character? Will you be known for your character? That's why you should think. Think about it this way. Said, if your name was added to the chapter, what would you want Paul to have said about you? Will you want him to be, will you want to be known as a choice boy or girl in the Lord? Will you want to be known as a hard worker for the Lord? Will you want to be known for as an outstanding servant of Christ? I do. But that's your own question to answer. As you begin the next chapter of your life, there are things that have the ability to draw your attention from God, to draw you away from God. Think about Adam and Eve, right? In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. They had a perfect relationship with God. They had a golden relationship with God. Because the Bible says God talked with them. He communed with them in the cool of the day. But down the line, they got distracted and lost that relationship with God. Just in a heartbeat. And that, if it can happen to Adam and Eve, it can happen to any of us. especially you young people going to college. But take this. Remember, your character matters, not your status. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. We just commit our young people, Lord, our graduates into your hands. And even ourselves, Lord, help us to understand deeply that our character matters more than anything. We just thank you for your word, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll call on the praise team to just lead us.
Everyone, please stand and join us as we sing Higher Ground.
Status. It's good to have those achievements, but at the end of the day, when we stand before God, all those things will be useless before God. But what would be the most important thing is, what have we done when we have that air to breathe through our lungs for Him? He's going to be looking for your work, what you've done. And for our young people, there are many challenges, but we can become overcomers through Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, He promised us that He would never leave us. No matter those darkest times in your life, remember that He says He will never leave you, nor will He forsake you. He will be with you throughout. And if you're lacking wisdom, call on Him. Let your character represent you out there. Let it be a part of your resume as you go, that others will see Christ in you, in who you are. Amen. And not only to our graduates, but to each of us here too. Amen.
We're going to close with a word of prayer. And as Jonathan said earlier, there's a whole lot of places to go today after church. So I want to encourage you, if you, first off, by the way, graduates and parents, I want you guys to step out right now, go out to the back, and everyone wants to greet you and congratulate you. So do that first. If you are a graduate, our banquet's in the gym right about 1 o'clock, so we can't wait to see you there. Our VBS meeting is here. If you're a parent, go to the gym. If you're involved in VBS, we'll catch up with you later. If you are in VBS, come right here. If you're a visitor, see Jonathan right at the back door. And lastly, in our bulletin, right, next week's Pentecost Sunday, we're celebrating the birth of the church, right? And we want you to be a part of it. So please fill out your name, fill out your country, and tell us what amazing dish you're going to bring to share, right? So let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for our graduates. Thank you, dear God, for your strength and your grace thus far. We pray, dear God, that you would just continue to go with these graduates, Lord. Go with each of us, Lord, as we start a new week, Lord. We don't know what the next steps will be, Lord, but we know that you're going to be in those next steps. And I pray, dear God, that you would just be with us now. Bless our time and remaining together. Work in us, Lord, that we would indeed be great examples of character, Lord, no matter where life takes us. Help us to be a testimony to the power and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And we ask all these things in his name with thanksgiving. And God's people say what?
Amen. Amen.